As the sun sets over the city of Malshar, the nighttime world takes shape. Hardworking citizens shuffle home and make sure their doors are locked before the streets fill with thugs and thieves. Over the last year, the city has become more and more dangerous. First, more mugging, then brutal assaults, and finally people started vanishing off the streets. But night is no longer the domain of good people. The night belongs to evil. Or at least the very, very not nice. Higgins Stubtoe slinks down a dark alley in the neighborhood of Shadyside. He is small, even for a halfling, so it was decided that he would be a runner, since he was the lightest and could hide easier than the rest of the folks in the Bitter Harvest. He deftly shifts from street to window to roof, then back down to the street to avoid detection by the gangs. He has to get to the Blind Crow by midnight to meet the contact from the Dead Eyes. He's unsure what to expect. The gang has a reputation for brutality, but more than that, they are feared, and that is what the movement needs. As he hits the street, he sees the sign of the tavern, a worn wooden sign with an equally worn painting of a white-eyed crow perched atop a bleached skull. Pulls his cloak tighter around him, gulps and heads inside. Dirty old tavern is full of life. Men and women drink and carouse. A drunk band plucks away at their instruments. Goblins run around cleaning tables and shifting drinks. All the while, the bleary-eyed drunks throw chunks of potatoes, spent mugs, and the occasional dart at them. Knowing that all good citizens were locked in their home at night, Higgins is well aware that this tavern is full of danger. Finding the contact proved to be fairly easy, as he was described to be bigger than any man had a business being. True to that statement, a massive half-orc posted in the corner with a huge tankard and a very uncomfortable-looking woman on his lap.
Come on, Twinkle, what's it gonna take to close a deal here? Flush with coin and handsome as hell. Why don't we go upstairs and do the midnight dance?
Darling, my dance card is full for the night. Besides, the human frame has limits. I've heard stories about you.
Well, I cannot say that I'm not gifted in size. You'll find I'm as gentle as a kitten when I need to be.
Well, that's hard to believe. But did you say flush with coin? Higgins is not excited about having to interrupt this transaction, but if he doesn't act now, he will lose his chance to make contact.
Ahem!
Higgins steps forward to the happy couple. The huge half-orc doesn't seem to notice.
Excuse me, sir!
The mountain of a man slowly turns his head.
No, you aren't about to interrupt me. I'll be extremely poor for your health.
Looking straight ahead and seeing only drunken revelry across the room, a look of confusion appears on the half-orc's face. Then he puts it all together and his eyes move to the floor.
Oh yeah, I had an appointment with this gadfly, didn't I?
Then without ceremony, he grabs Higgins by his cloak and sets him gently on the table in front of him.
Right, little fellow, what's all the brouhaha?
Well, as you may know, my people are not happy about the Claudian presence in the city and have reached out to several organizations to help us make our unhappiness known.
Right, you pipsqueaks want some head smash to get attention. You came to the right place, if you got that coin.
Oh, well, I assure you, we do. We've been putting our gold aside for months. But to be clear, we are looking to strike fear into our enemies, not necessarily smash heads. You see, our leader was captured by the dwarf priests, and we believe she's being held by them somewhere. We just need someone to scare them into giving her up.
So let me get this straight. You want me to scare some dwarves to release your leader? You know they're bred for battle, right? They don't exactly scare easily. We know who took her. Maybe if you rough him up a little, it might send a message? Well, I can do that, but it's gonna cost you.
Higgins plunks a fairly heavy coin purse on the table.
How about that? This is a goodly sum. I ain't gonna assault the Forge Temple. That place is a bleeding fortress. How am I supposed to find him? All those bearded twats look the same. Oh, that should be the easiest part.
Higgins throws a piece of parchment down, leans over it, straightens it out. On the page is a sketch of a dwarf, fairly average looking, despite the decided lack of a beard. The half-orc lets out a sudden laugh.
Well, fuck me, that is different, ain't it? Right, little fella, you got a deal.
Now do us a favor and piss off back to your cabbage patch as I intend to a bit of business.
With that, the half-orc takes up the purse and paper in one massive hand and Twinkle in the other. Then he stomps up the stairs with a huge smile on his tusked mouth. Higgins jumps down off the table and then scoots out of the Blind Crow. As he heads back to Breadbasket, he wonders who he pities more, the priest or Twinkle. Welcome, welcome, everyone. We are the Architects of Entropy, and welcome to episode 12. Yes, we got a dozen in now, guys, a dozen episodes.
We're cheaper by the dozen.
Yeah, I would say. Right now, absolutely free. So I don't think that's going to change, but last week we had a lot of fun, I think. We went to the fights, and a fight broke out at the fights. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of nice. So you followed the note given to you, was presumably by the Shadow Consortium, that asked you to do a favor for them and they would meet and talk with you. So you went to Shadyside at their instruction, looking for someone called Andy Gurr. And you realized in not too long a time that Andy Gurr was actually the sign for the closed down tavern, the Dandy Dagger, with some letters missing. So you found the secret door in.
I think the secret door found us because
we
were too,
too yes. committed. Zika the cat followed a guy who went in, and then you went into the abandoned tavern and just had a time finding the trap door. Just to go behind the scenes a little bit, I think once people got like one away from the DC, I was about to just give it to you, but then I was like, yeah, this is kind of funny. And you were heard by one of the guards who opened the trap door and let you in because you gave them some money. So you went into the basement of an old tavern. You found a big room with a big pit in the middle of it. Relatively medium-sized group of people there, considering it was the morning, were there to see fights, as one would expect. You found out that the operation was being run by an orc named Rorg, who Razor tried to have a civil conversation with. And he didn't really seem to care whatever was going on in the city. Because he was being funded and taken care of by a noble. He referred to as Lady Anna. So that presented a problem. But then when the next card was announced at the fight, the great champion Grelb the Gargantuan, a massive goblin of 4'3", 85 pounds, was set against what looked to be an emaciated serpent folk who did not want to be there. He immediately started yelling and screaming at Rorg about how shitty the fight was, and eventually, as things set in motion, he leapt up at Rorg to fight him, and then y'all jumped into the fray. Mm. And very quickly, Rorg was burned to death by a spell launched by Zika.
That was fun.
I have since looked at that spell, and it was exactly the way it is written.
Yep.
There are discussions online about whether or not that spell's a little bit overpowered, but I think, well, there were two things. You got a very good roll on the damage, and he had taken a bunch of damage already.
Right. It wasn't the only thing.
He would have dropped the weapon even if he made the Constitution save, because it was basically on fire. But, you know, it's a second level slot, and it requires concentration, so...
He didn't have to draw his axe.
Exactly.
He could have tried to resolve that peaceably, you know, like orcs normally do.
Yes. You know, that typical orc diplomat.
Yeah. The old orc pacifist.
Let's not stereotype.
Yes, he was pretty civilized in a way. I think that the orcs are a little dynamic in this world, Rick, wouldn't you say? There's a lot of very sneaky ones, I know that.
Yeah, there's some sneaky ones. There's some necromantic ones.
They have a Lich King, if I'm not mistaken, essentially.
Yeah, they have a Lich King. They have some sneaky members that the Lich King sends out to do his bidding and stuff. And other than that, for the most part, they're traditional orcs, which is going to be to the regret of the dwarves for signing a mutual defense treaty with them. But, you know, hey.
You know, I can't imagine that going badly. But this treaty between this one orc and this one dwarf did not go so great. But you really tried. You basically told him everything that was going on. Which I can't say I'm not surprised, because Ordrum is not really much of a manipulator, but I was just like, he's just going to tell him all that. And I was like, but I don't see how he'd care. But you never know. I mean,
a sensible person would think if there is an army of enemy soldiers outside your city and they're going to come in, it might be an issue, but, you know.
Didn't seem to care.
But either way, you were able to pretty quickly, between you and your new friend, Greld the Gargantuan, you were able to take out the rest of the guards, and the last couple guards had basically dropped their weapons and surrendered to you, and the last thing that happened was out of the fighter's room, a beautiful noblewoman stepped out, announced herself as Lady Annabelle Royce. And the rest of the crowd skittered out of there as fast as possible. The remaining guards and Grelb dropped to their knees in supplication. And she basically implied that she's the Shadow Consortium and she is here to talk. So we will pick things up there. You wanted to talk? Let's talk.
I believe this table has been relatively untouched by the conflict.
Yeah, you're able to turn over a table that's not smashed in half. Ah, well, yes, let's be civilized, shall we? And she has three dark cloaked figures, one behind her and two flanking her by the side. They don't move. She indicates over to the guards to grab chairs, and the guards run around and grab chairs. They grab three chairs that aren't broken, one chair that doesn't have a back, and then a barrel. Because that's the only other thing. And the one rolling the barrel over is just really apologetic, going, I'm sorry.
Fine, I'll take that one.
Okay, Kiernan sits on the barrel. The rest of you sit on chairs. She points to Grelb and then asks him to sit next to her, and he looks very honored and slightly confused. All right, well then. And she indicates to each of you in turn, I believe I am speaking with Ordrum Flaskmaster, Kiernan Locke, and Zika Hardwater. If I am not mistaken.
You are correct.
You are very well informed.
Well, thank you. We try to be. There's a lot of fuss in the city right now, and we really like to try and keep on top of things as much as possible. So, I do have some questions for you. I'm sure you have some questions for me. But I would like to hear your... Well, give me your pitch, as they say. Tell me what you would like the Shadow Consortium to do for you.
Well, it's not for me, you understand. I have no personal gains out of this myself, but just looking at this city right now, it's kind of a mess, and there's a legion outside waiting to pounce. I would like the Shadow Consortium to step up, as it were, in return for joining the council and going legit and paying taxes and all that. Which I'm sure will be negotiated. I'm not a lead negotiator, but you know how that is. And in return, what we'd get from the Shadow Consortium is kind of a cessation of crime, at least for the moment. And all these, my instincts say that you have a very good grasp on the sewer system of being able to move in and out of there, and perhaps use that to your advantage to help defend this city.
A couple of things you notice while you're speaking with her is when you say the city seems to be in chaos or whatever, she smiles kind of proudly.
Right.
When you mention the taxes, her expression does not change at all. She does not react to that whatsoever. Give me an insight roll, actually. We'll see if you notice anything else, because this is kind of
insight, too. I don't have a ton of it, but no, this is out of my depth.
I got a 12, so unless she let her face slip, no.
Yeah, okay. I did her roll too, and I shouldn't have even asked your roll. But she does still smile proudly at the mention of how much chaos is in the city.
Mm-hmm.
She says, well, that is a lot. Let's take things in order as much as I can here. You say that there is a legion of Claudian soldiers outside of the city.
Indeed. Last I had heard, about 5 miles.
All right. And you have laid eyes on these soldiers?
I myself have not, but I have it on very good information.
I see. And your sources?
Out of character, I don't even remember.
Multiple people have told you that, not just like one random weirdo, it's like regular people, people who have come into the city recently.
Multiple travelers and commoners have told me.
I see. Well, that is possible. My sources have told me that over the past week or so, that people that have a Claudian look about them have been slowly sneaking into the city or coming in groups in disguise. It is possible that this is true. It would not surprise me if this were the case. I have heard that the Claudians are very insistent on diplomatic relations with as many groups as they can. Last I've heard, they had been treating with the giants in Sakkarat. MJ, tell me about Sakkarat and the giants to the north.
I think it's a pretty mysterious place. People didn't know about it for a while, but recently it has been discovered that there are frost giants up there. And I think they're trying to ally with some people nearby, finally, because I think in this world, people are starting to realize that you can't be insular all the time.
Very true. Yes, and they are located in the Spine Mountains, which are to the far northwest of Malshar, and they separate the Glass Lands, the lands of the Isog and the Serpent Folk, from the northern part where there are a couple of big Claudian cities. Presidium and Pugnus Morum, the scuttlebutt is they have been treating with those giants.
And I believe, I mean, from what people know, the government is a kind of monarchy.
Yeah, there's a single ruler. I would assume nobody really knows much about him.
Correct.
Okay.
Just that they hear that he's very powerful and has somehow gotten these giants to listen to him and give him respect.
That is a concern, a large amount of soldiers. I and my associates would like nothing more than to be welcomed into the council. This is what we have been suing for some time. We would like to be taken seriously as an organization and viewed as such. As far as the legitimacy and paying of taxes, that is something that will be discussed. Brother Orgrim, I think we'll hash that out in the council. Contributions, of course, will be made. The people I work with do not take kindly with the word tax, but considering they pay up to us already, it would just be a matter of syntax in that regard.
Yes, I believe syntax is a very good term for it.
That's an option. And those areas of, I hate this word, but vice in the city would be under our purview, and also the regulation of crime. The thing that many of the staunch old men of the council have a problem getting their heads around is the fact that crime in a city will happen regardless of how strong law enforcement is. And having an organized regulation, rules, and customs laid out has helped keep order amongst the chaos. As for the sewers, yes, you have very astutely uncovered one of our more recent networks. It is not something that, in my opinion, has been handled as clandestinely as I would like, but the people in charge of that endeavor have achieved enough support from certain authorities to do this. Before we continue this discussion, I would like to thank you very much for taking care of a little bit of a problem that I had here.
I find it hard to believe he was a problem. He knew he was working for you. He just didn't know that you were part of an organization.
Yes, see, it appears that old Rorg fell into a little bit of a trap. You see, Rorg has been making noise for a very long time that if he had the proper backing, would be able to start an independent operation that would start a little bit of a revolution.
Revolution?
Yes, you see, our current seeming inactivity in controlling things has had an unfortunate side effect among some low to mid-level operatives that the consortium is weak and is not worth what they're paying if they're not getting the kind of support they're used to. We keep an eye on these things and we squash them when we can. In Rorg's situation, it just seemed to be a convenient timing. He was approached after a certain amount of time by Lady Anna, a very wealthy noble, and was given backing and the promise that he had nothing to fear from the Shadow Consortium. I knew when given the opportunity, Rorg was going to muck things up. But when this opportunity came to me, I thought this is a good time to see what these X factors in the city might be able to do, to gauge your talent, as it were. And I was quite impressed. So you were able to take care of a problem for me, and in turn, we are having this conversation. Thank you.
How exactly do we come to be X-Factors in your scheming? What exactly have we done?
You have been making some waves. You initially came into my purview when agents of mine witnessed a brief fight in the alleys coming out of the lower half, heading towards the middle gate.
Them ruffians?
Yes. And the odd thing was you seemed to come into contact with a very low-level miscreant named Dervin Fane.
Mm.
And in his dealings with you, he displayed some very, well, let's just say, unusually proficient talent. And he was a low-level grifter, bit of a cut purse, mildly charming, but really not all that smart. And then I saw him darting in and out. He somehow snuck his way up to interject into a situation in Council Heights when he was barely visible, and then disappeared. But you've seen him recently?
It's been a while since we've seen him.
So no contact whatsoever?
Not since our initial meeting.
I'm going to ask you to give me a deception.
11.
Okay. Well, that is odd. I can tell you why you haven't seen him since, as his body was pulled out of Shadyside a day or two since your escapades in Council Heights. The funny thing was, my agents told me he bore the marks of being dead for several days. He was rather clumsily stuffed into a closet with the body of, I believe, a prostitute. Lovely young woman, really shame.
I find that hard to believe. I mean, we saw him, and I paid him for his time working with us, and then that's the last we've seen, but it certainly his body wouldn't have had the opportunity to have decayed or anything.
Yes. Yes, it is very strange. I haven't laid eye on the corpse myself, and the method of disposal can sometimes hasten things along. And it's unfortunate that Mr. Fane had so many hidden talents that he could have been quite more of a use to us. But unfortunately, that chapter has been closed. But yes, since then, there has been talk of the situation in Hogsbane Alley, being that you had some intervention there, which led to the districts currently being opened up again. And that there's talk amongst the Temple District that there's some kind of grassroots healthcare project happening amongst the lower half, where apparently priests are being organized to go out and deal with some kind of illness or something.
Illness. Do you know anything about anything like that? There's some sort of thing that's been turning people into zombies and that.
Well, funny you mention. Some of my operatives underneath the city have reported strange sights, strange creatures.
In the sewers? Yes,
in the sewers, largely. As a matter of fact, if the reports are to be believed, some of our agents have apparently caught the undeath and have been dealt with. Though some reported the sights of a very large, burrowing, glowing-eyed monster crashing through the sewers, burrowing into the more earthen parts of the underground. I haven't heard much of that in a matter of days, so it's either been dealt with or it's moved on. It sounds like you know a little bit more about this than we do.
Well, it appears to be some sort of curse / disease that if once it afflicts you, it'll change your blood and you'll become a member of the living dead, so to speak. Do not believe once you're fully transformed that there's any way to deal with it at this point. But if you have not yet transformed, there are religious magics and such that can aid in your recovery.
We don't know anything about any sort of glowing-eyed monster been burrowing.
The only thing we know potentially about that is there's a tunnel that extends way out of the sewers, out of Malshar, headed to who knows where.
Yes, I believe some of my informants in the Undercity have told me that some of the works people have been down there caving in earthen tunnels that they say were the result of some kind of earthquake or seismic activity. It really didn't seem to make a lot of sense, but now things are starting to come together. Why would zombies be digging under the city? I mean, they're mindless automatons, usually. They're being controlled by someone, a necromancer, perhaps someone that is troubling.
It does seem like someone or something is compelling them.
One of the cloaked figures, the one to her right, kind of leans over and whispers something into her ear, and then she just kind of, you know, nods her head. And we would like to know what the symptoms of this infection might be. We have people who have fought these things. And if they could be infected and not even realize it, is there some sign, some...
Infected wounds seems to be the largest sign that we've seen. Sort of a green or yellowish pus-like substance in the wound.
Hmm.
And the scar will heal, but it will turn black and believe it will spider web and spread.
I see. Well, that's definitely something we will keep an eye out on. If you could share the specifics of the magics used to combat this, our more arcane and divinely inclined people should be able to assist, at least our own.
And I'll do so.
Okay. The gentleman on her right leans over, and when you discuss the spells and magics used, he will just nod his head and then just stand back up again and look imposing. You can kind of almost see a chin there. Looks like a guy, you know, clean shaven. He doesn't have a deathly pallor or anything, just a regular old...
One of those chin-having types.
Yeah, you gotta look out for those guys with chins. They are tricky. Yeah.
He doesn't have a beard, I don't know.
He does not have a beard, yeah. He looks like a...
Humanish looking?
Human, definitely. At least his chin. It's about a human's chin as you will ever see. So, at this point, you hear a sound from the pit. Hello?
Is that the serpent folk?
You think so?
Oh, crap.
Well, we should help that person.
Yeah.
Can someone pull me out of this pit?
Yes, I will help you.
And at this point, Lady Anna looks over at the two guards and with a look that's like, are you fucking kidding me? And they immediately run over and help this guy out of the pit.
I will cast Cure Wounds on him, assuming he's injured in some capacity.
He doesn't appear to be injured. He just appears to be very weak and sickly. He doesn't give you that typical serpent folk to Isog response. It just, thank you.
Like, hey, we've been at war for a while, look.
Yeah, the very least he's like, I have bigger problems than this right. one. This one weasel folk here, you know? Though he did witness you burn a man to death with his own axe. So.
Right.
Thank you. And he looks over at Lady Anna as she seems to be in charge. He goes, I'll just wait over there. And he points to a dark corner and then just kind of slinks over there. Sorry about that. This gentleman seems to have survived the day. That is quite interesting. Well, as we were speaking, this news you've brought me about this infection is new. I have to say, I am quite impressed that someone, and she's just looking right at you, Razor, as earnest as you, someone as straightforward and really just, well, you could be at the center of something that has eluded us. The world is full of wonders.
Well, you must understand that as a member of the Order of the Forge, we are created to be weapons against chaos and evil. So we are good at seeking it out.
Yes, that is what I have heard. Well, from what I understand, and I mean no offense, the current iteration of the Order of the Forge in the city, as far as their weapon capabilities, seem to be somewhat blunted. And there's a lot of talk.
I think you would find that that is not true. They drill every day. Perhaps the will of some of the leadership is not what it once was. I must say, I'm not truly informed, as I am merely a tongs.
Yes, your order's degrees. Tongs, the hammer.
The smith. Master smith.
I'm not asking you to spill any dwarven secrets or lore. It's really none of my business, but it is quite interesting. Your people seem to believe in destiny and apocalyptical events. It might all be heading towards something.
Well, you've read history, have you not?
Yes.
We've had some near misses.
Yes, I would say over the last century or two, quite a bit of conflict and more brewing. If there was some other force that we didn't even know about coming in to stir things up, well, I guess I should just stay with my city and see how I can help keep it safe. As I said, as far as us being admitted to the Council of Elders, it has been very difficult convincing many of them that it will benefit them. I think if we had a way to present this additional evidence to them, perhaps we could make some headway.
Perhaps if you define your terms better. I mean, you want to have some sort of tolerance regarding crime, but I mean, there are different kinds of crimes. There's crimes that are perceived as vices by the more high-minded folk, and then there's crimes that are making victims of others.
Yes, I get what you're driving at, Hardwater, and I don't disagree. I can give you a little bit of the history of our organization. To be entirely honest, the Shadow Consortium started as little more than a...
regular consortium. No, I'm just kidding.
considered more of a makeshift thieves guild. There were five main gangs in the city of Malshar, and they came together to form a compact, a settling of territory. And
I said it was a thieves guild. I said it was a thieves guild.
Yes, it still does have that reputation. And in a lot of ways, I would say that could be somewhat of a fair assessment of it in a traditional fashion. Over the years, the organization has grown. More than just street gangs, more organized operations, outside concerns. Largely, the rules of the initial organization were stay off others' turf and mind your own business. But over the years, we have come to feel that we are representative of more than just crime or vice. That there are codes, long-established traditions that many people have not had the courage to bring into the light. Many people have a base understanding of light and dark, good and evil, right and wrong. What many people realize but do not want to believe is that the shades of gray that dictate our lives are very, very tricky to navigate and require finesse at times. Our organization is not predicated on victimization. We have very strong beliefs against the causing of pain and suffering for their own sake. There have been depraved killers in the city that the law has never known about because we have stopped them. I'm not going to say that we are an organization that exists to save the world, but we have our own code, and it's hard for them to see it as anything more than evil.
Perhaps and if you wrote it down.
They have been shown the core of our rules. Every organization such as ours has their own private rituals and traditions, and they are for our organization only. But we can assure you that there is no overarching plan to take over the city or to turn Malshar into some kind of dark thieves' paradise. We do not believe in chaos for chaos' sake. We have a very strict code ourselves, and law enforcement does play a part. I feel that if we were to be able to work hand in hand with the Lawmaster and not at cross purposes, they would be surprised at what they could achieve.
May we peruse your tenets?
I will share them with you. And I'll share them with you once I write them all down. I really should have that done. But about 2 weeks ago, this lady didn't exist. So right. That's kind of how we created this world, right? Everything exists as like a paragraph until it becomes more in focus. And then we add more details as we go. And that's collaborative world building, folks. And that's what we're all about.
Very true.
Collaborative world destroying, as the case may be.
Then you destroy it. It's a kind of a mandala, if you will.
Yes, we aren't the architects of building things. We're the architects of entropy.
Exactly. You got to build it before you can knock it down. If you have it built, then what are you going to do other than knock it down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any further insight on your side as relatively new but rising luminaries? Let's say strategies that you might have for us to get what we all want.
Well, Mr. Umir Forgecloak is not going to be on your side. He is very close with a leader of the Claudians. She is currently his guest in the temple.
Yes. Sabina. I must say, my dossier on her is very slim. From what I understand, her relationship with the Master Smith of the Forge is very close. Inappropriate, some might say.
Well, I would not say that, as I like to be clear on such things before I would make such a crude accusation.
The accusation is that they're fucking. Pardon my language. They're in sexual congress on a regular basis.
As I said, that accusation did not come from me.
These are all theories. From what I understand, other my agents have caught them in flagrante delicto at any point. But there are signs, or at the very least, he believes it. There are ways of making people believe things have happened that have not. And then she just kind of looks over the guy to her right, and he chuckles silently. Well, anyway, you are inside that organization, and anything you can learn will be of a benefit. Mr. Forgecloak has become somewhat of a regular sight at the open council meetings. He has made it very clear that he wishes to be the next temple master, and Temple Master Loral has been less and less seen in the general council meetings. Some say that she is preparing a way to leave this world, as some of the older of the elven people do.
Would you say that the current temple master would be more sympathetic to your petition than other members of the council?
Perhaps. Our emissaries has never been in any of the meetings with her. As I understand, she has abstained from any discussion, indicating that there are more important issues.
Well, if there were something that you would care to get a message that would be placed in her ear that you think might help convince her, you can give it to me. I believe I will be seeing her soon.
You will. Well, that is interesting. Yes, I will send something along with you. And the gentleman on her right very gently touches her shoulder, and then they look at each other, and she turns back around. I would like an associate of ours to accompany you, if at all possible. And they only need to be present when mentioning our concern with the Temple Master. Any other issues or things you wish to discuss, my emissary will have a hands-off order.
If you wish me to take this leap of faith, I must ask of you to take a leap of faith with me.
Ha ha! Good! Finally, some quid pro quo. I was wondering if you were everything that you seem to be. I have to say, and once again, no offense is meant, but you do seem a little bit aged to be someone who presents such a wide-eyed view of the world.
None taken. What I would ask of you is for you and your companion that's going to go with me to submit themselves to a zone of truth so I can ask of your intentions on such matter willingly.
Yes, absolutely. We are all familiar with that particular spell. Matter of fact, you might be surprised to learn that the zone of truth is often employed by our magically inclined operatives.
Well, if you're willing to do that?
Yes, absolutely.
You and your operative pass, I will be more than willing to take your operative.
Myself and my operative, or just my operative?
Oh, you and your operative.
Ah, I see.
I will only ask questions about your intentions and his or her intentions in relation to the meeting.
Very well. Yes, I will. The person to her left just spins right around at her agreeing to be basically interrogated by you, and she does not even look at them. It will be fine. They worry so about me.
Indeed.
Everyone has their people, and mine are very faithful, but also very concerned.
Well, it's good to have loyal and protective people beside you.
Yes.
They're also apparently elusive.
Well, that is part of the job. Many of the people at our level can be leery of how I present myself. I say individual flair is paramount to your reputation. Reputation is very, very big in our organization.
If you don't mind me asking, what is your reputation within your organization?
Trusted.
Are you the leader? Are there people above you?
That is a more difficult question than you would think. She looks over to Razor when she sees this. Every device has a series of parts, and those parts are all integral to the design. If any one part is damaged or ineffectual, the machine stops working. I am an integral part of this organization. Leader is it's a tricky thing. It's what the city found many years ago, is that the trade master of Melshar was a demagogue. The trade master made all the decisions, held all of the cards. And when the city was prosperous, everyone was fine. No one cared. The ships came in on time. The shipments were always filled to the brim. Prices were fair. People were happy. The minute one merchant seemed to be doing better than another merchant, the minute one ship didn't come back from lands beyond, the minute one business folded because another business seemed to have inside information on them, everyone wanted to have a say. So Malshar has no one leader. It has a council. But oddly enough, the council is overseen by the Trade Master. So what's really changed?
I see.
Like I said, it's complicated, but if this organization had one leader and that leader was known, it would be very difficult for us to continue in the way that we do. But I can assure you, everything is done to keep our organization running effectively. And if our organization is running effectively and has the blessing of the council, then things will be very different than they are now.
And perhaps that is something you can tell me. In what manner might you improve the city for the common good of people if you were a member of the council?
Well, street crime, as you see it now, would stop immediately. Operations of parlors of vice would become more peaceful, more ordered, and more fair. There'd be less violence, for sure. Violence is a tool, but it's a lousy methodology for anything more than defense or making something right if no other path is laid out for it. If there is an army marching on the city, or if there is some kind of undead threat coming from beneath the city, our forces can be organized in such a way that they can support any standing army that exists. There are many people within my organization who would love nothing more than to keep outsiders who mean this city harm out. We all share one thing. We love this city. The city is flawed in many ways, but this is a special place, and we will defend it with our lives. Well, I think this communication has been very beneficial. Wasn't sure what your little group could bring to the table, as it were, but I had a feeling that you are closer to the middle of this than one would think. It seems like you were all in the right place at the right time, or perhaps the right place at the wrong time, or the wrong place at the right time. It's all just a matter of perspective.
We certainly didn't come here looking for fame.
Yes. I know my brother Flaskmaster is here, and Esog have a tendency to show up pretty much anywhere. It looks over at Kiernan. You, on the other hand, you are a bit of a genuine enigma.
Perhaps that's my reputation, then.
Perhaps. I'm a big fan of puzzles. I do like figuring them out. I have generally found that people who are mysterious for a reason, and I respect you enough to leave it at that, but I would be lying if I said I am not very curious.
Thank you for your respect.
Your coloring is... You hail from the south? Cimmerite, perhaps, or...
Perhaps.
I'm assuming that the Cimmerites have a darker hue.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Since they're from a warmer climate.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Sapphire Islanders are very, like, Mediterranean complected.
Yeah.
Annabelle definitely has the complexion of a Sapphire Islander, but her bright blonde hair is not a usual thing. Well, she looks around at this basement. This building is free.
Yes, is your operative here.
And then she indicates to one of the two flunky guards who are desperately wanting to not die. There is a cask behind the bar there. Could you do me a favor and bring it out? It's a small one. Yes, that one. And a cask is rolled out from behind the bar. It's kind of like a half keg sized, smaller cask, but it has a stamp on it. Razor, you recognize that stamp as the stamp of your family.
Oh, okay.
And this might have been brewed even before you were born. It's almost like a Scotch whiskey. This is your family. Am I correct?
Indeed. That may be the last cask of our product left.
This is the funny thing. This cask has been sitting in my personal storage for years. I did not go and find this when I heard of you. I just happened to come upon it not long after you arrived in the city. And I know a little dwarvish, and Flaskmaster is a very specific name.
Yes.
So if you are one that believed in fate and destiny, which I assume you are, I think this is a very good sign.
It would certainly appear to be.
Consider this a gift. I think this tavern might be opening again. It's got good bones.
Needs a bit of paint.
Maybe a way down here that's not a trap door that nobody can find.
Oh, there are other ways down here.
Oh, well, excellent.
That's going to be the last time you see that trap door when you leave. There'll be another way to get in here.
Well, we barely found it the first time. It was so well hidden.
I will make this place available to you in the future if you would like a place to meet outside of prying eyes and ears. It's my gift to you. It'll be known to me and those of us who are here now, but no one else, unless you wish it so.
Well, you say out of the sight of prying eyes and ears.
Yes.
Even your own.
Especially my own. We value trust in this organization. Can you cast that spell now?
I can do so.
Please do.
I'll cast it. And one of the things about the spell is I know whether anybody that enters it failed or made their save.
Okay. She does not attempt to resist.
Okay.
Once this place has been cleared out and readied for you, it will be closed to any eyes, ears, or any other methods of spying. We can, if you would like, place safeguards against scrying. At the very least, leave it entirely alone. Anything you say and do here will be unknown to myself, my organization, or anyone else I can conceive of.
Very well. I would like the protection from scrying, and I would just like the word out that it is closed and that members of your organization are no longer welcome.
This will not even be known to anyone other than the people sitting here, and trust me.
Very well.
And I have agreement from the rest of you, and they all here also, the three figures with her here. I'm a roll for Grelb, though. Just because he's, you know, he's not me. He rolled a natural 20.
All right.
Plus zero. But he doesn't say anything.
All right. That's fine.
But he's been quiet the whole time. He doesn't want to say a word. If Grelb the Gargantuan could show fear, this is probably the closest you might ever see of it.
And a few times when I was talking about the order and the purpose of the order, I will have been looking over to see his reaction to that kind of thing.
You know, give me an insight roll. It's not going to be hard. Yeah.
And specifically also to when I'm talking about the Order of the Forge.
Okay.
That's a 21.
Okay, yeah. It seems like he really doesn't know a lot about the Shadow Consortium.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not officially part of it. He definitely would be recognized because he's a bit of a celebrity. And then when you discuss the Order of the Forge, there's a bit of curiosity to it, a little bit. You definitely get the idea that this guy really just lives for fighting and glory and having a good time. This is not Grelb's jam. Mm. She will say, and the same goes for everyone here. They all just say, yes, you have our word, and very hushed tones.
How about you over there, Snakey?
Oh, he's not in the zone of truth. I don't know anything about anything, and you can do with me what you wish.
You give your word on that you know nothing about anything that occurred here?
For what my word is worth, yes, you have my word.
Very well.
You can make an insight roll on him if you want.
Sure.
I kind of want to.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I got 10. So yeah, unless he's 14. Really bad at it.
Okay. Seems to be on level. He looks over at the lady. What is your lady's pleasure with my pathetic form? That is a good question, isn't it? I'm terribly sorry I never got your name. It's Ylyss. I have no family name. Yes, I guess that would be the case, wouldn't it? Your family was, I would say, rather unkind, but they had no choice. I would make the same decision again. I suppose you can't go back to them. Not alive, no. It would be a great shame. And it would be a sign of my cowardice, and they would take it as me wriggling out of the deal. Well, your kind aren't very forgiving. And he kind of looks over at the Esog and goes, no, you'll find that most beings of the Fae operate on a series of principles that can be fairly rigid. Yes, well, you met your end, so you are free to do whatever you want. I see. I suppose I will figure something out. So, where does that leave us now? I think we have a fairly strong working idea of how this will continue.
Yes, and is your operative here?
No. My operative is not here. I have a few ideas of who I might trust in that regard, but it's not entirely my decision, so I will confer with my associates. And when is your scheduled meeting with the Temple Master?
In 2 days.
Very well.
And after you've chosen your operative, I would like to reconvene this little ritual again at a place of your choice.
I like the Fork in the Road Tavern.
Very well.
I believe that's where you've been staying?
Yes. I have no doubt that you knew that.
Well, if I didn't, you should be worried. In the meantime, I'll be withdrawing people from the sewers. Let me ask you this. As far as this infection goes, if someone has been healed, can they be reinfected?
It appears that once you are infected, that you cannot be reinfected by this particular disease. And life is full of change, however. You never know. But yes, That's the early indications.
We are going to take steps to make sure our sewer jacks are bolstered against this infection. And in the meantime, we'll start pulling people out. Now that we know this is a thing, it's easier for us to keep an eye on it. And I think that's another thing that should help with the council as well, if we're all on the same page with this.
Some of the infected seemed to have a purpose. There were Dwargar that were tunneling and appeared to be tunneling beneath the forge, for what it's worth.
Dwargar?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is a little piece I didn't know.
Oh, it's wonderful after all these years able to surprise you.
Not many have seen Dwargar since the war. That's troubling. All right, so, yes, well, we'll have my associate meet you at the tavern. Well, myself and my associate. I will be, you'll know it's me.
I'm sure.
So we will see you then. And in the meantime, Grelb. Yes, my lady. How's your dance card looking these days?
Well, to be honest, I really didn't have anything in the books. I really thought this might lead to some more bouts in Malshar, but it sounds like the fight business is...
And he looks over at you guys.
If I'm reading this correctly, there's some kind of great evil out there. A war of some kind in the offing?
At least a battle or two.
I don't always fight for profit, but I do like to fight. Would you mind if I tagged along?
I'm sure we could use the help.
I would not turn down such a fine weapon in the battle against evil.
Ah, yes, this is, I believe, dwarven steel. I'm not really sure, but you look at it, it's definitely not dwarven.
And I wasn't referring to the sword.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you folks have a good time, and hopefully the next time we meet, we'll be working towards an arrangement that will be good for all of us.
Let's hope so.
And they don't get up. The gentleman to the right starts waving his hands around. A few brief words in what you think might be Elven of some kind. Hard to tell if it is. It's a very weird dialect. And they all start glowing a little bit. And then they vanish.
Well.
You've got a new tavern.
I guess I do. Let's see if there's any other casks that can be opened.
Get the feeling that anything you want, you could probably get in short order. So the serpent folk is still standing there in the corner.
Well, I need a place to crash tonight. I think I need to leave the city.
He is wearing just like skivvies, essentially, and has nothing.
Why don't we give you a robe or something? You can stay here. You can have some food and drink. If you're up to it, help us clean this place up a little bit. So it might not smell quite so bad for you tonight.
Yeah, we'll get him some food.
And I don't want to be too presumptuous, but you are a priest, I understand.
Yes, wounds can be healed. Greater things, I myself probably cannot. I will look you over, see what I can do.
You can give me a medicine.
Hey, that's a 26.
He is definitely ill. He is not infected with the undead infection. He's got kind of fluish symptoms. It's not magical in any way. It might be something that's more specific to his species, but he's not well. He's not in imminent danger of passing on.
Mm-hmm.
And with some time, bed rest, food and drink, he'll probably be okay. Obviously, if someone would like to throw a spell on him, like restoration or something, he would be fine like immediately. But at the very least, you think he will recover in time?
I happen to know lesser restoration.
I was going to say, I happen to know mending, but I don't think that's going to help.
No. It wouldn't help. Yeah, if you want to cast it on him, you can.
Sure. I will touch him. And my hand paw will glow, and I will end one disease afflicting this.
So, all right. Whoa. Congratulations. You can now cure people of the infection.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, wow.
As of right now, all of your party, except for Kiernan, seems to be immune to the disease. So Ulysses is very grateful.
I think, in an observation, if you don't mind, I think Lady Annabelle is as trustworthy as she can be. I don't know if I can say the same for her associates, but they do seem to defer to her.
Well, one of the reasons why I didn't ask her questions now, I waited till she talked to her associates. And if she knew anything of theirs, that was the reasoning there.
It's kind of what I do. I see things. I read people.
Zika, Yasil will speak to you.
There is much unrest among my kind in the city. Many are jealous of the home you have made here. Most have been shattered by the war. without our leader, many of us feel directionless. I cannot say what that will look like in this city. You appear to be one who does not bear an automatic hatred of my kind. Speaking as such, be wary, and also do not judge easily. Though, speaking that my family sold me to this orc so they could continue their existence in this city, the ways of our people are very hard for some to understand.
I understand that your people were born of a cataclysm. You were not brought into this world in the same way that most other races were. And you were created practically already under the thumb of the Scarlet Warlord, who has taught you a particular way of life. I don't envy your struggle to try and acclimate to the way most societies around here work and interact. It will be a long journey for you. All I am interested in doing is preventing further conflict. I don't want to go back to war.
No. War is utterly pointless.
Aye.
Well, I appreciate your hospitality, and I will stay here until I have worn out my welcome.
He finds some food and starts eating. Looks to be kind of ravenous.
Well, where are y'all staying?
I come and go and bail Melshar as I please, but apparently we've got a new tavern that we can stay in as we like, I suppose.
Oh, yeah? You're staying here now?
Hey, I do rough it on the road. This is much better than some places I stayed. So if you don't mind, I'll stay here with you guys, you know, help keep you safe.
Sounds good.
All right. Let me ask you this, Razor. Does Grenna know where you are?
No, and I probably would have... You know what? I'd probably go inform her what I was doing. I'd probably leave for a little while.
When people are getting settled in here, Razor, you go back off to the forge. And as you are going into the forge, you see Grenna coming out. And she's wearing her traveling clothes, like when she's going around the city, over her regular vestments. And then she sees you, and then she turns right around. She has this look of surprise, and then she comes running your way. I was going to go over to the fork. I thought you might be staying there. I need to speak to, well, all of you.
All right, well, come with me. I think you'll be surprised at our new location.
Okay.
It's not nearly so grand as the fork, and I'll lead her over there.
So you take her over to the Dandy Dagger,
yeah,
or the Andy Gurr, and you open the weird secret side door, and she's like, okay, this is... And she looks when you bring her in the main room. She's like, yeah, this is a really bad place you found here.
Yeah, it gets a little bit better. Open the trap door and go down.
So Razor leaves, he disappears for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden Grenna is coming down this ladder and then looks around and sees you all. Oh, hello. Hi. And then she sees the goblin. And then she eventually sees the serpent folk. Like, so you have some new friends?
Yeah.
Are they
trustworthy?
Can I speak freely around them?
Sure.
And that seems to be all it takes with her. Well, I have some news. Some developments, and I'm not exactly sure how to proceed. So I've been doing some digging into the Loretta Bumblecrouch situation. I am pretty sure she's down there. Let's put it this way. Every time I try to look a little closer, there's always at least two of those guards down there. And there's one way up and there's one way down, and there's really no other way to go. I mean, it was essentially built as a prison among cells that could be very easily transitioned into a prison. I tried to ask Umir about that, and he told me that's where they're staying, and just to leave it alone, they won't be there long. I asked him about our halfling prisoner, and as far as I can tell, he has no idea she's down there and doesn't want to know. And he said no one goes down there, leave them alone. Sabina would like us to just let them be. They're far away from home, and they live a very ordered existence, and a lot of stuff about how their protection of her is basically their life. I mean, it sounds like they're kind of glorified slaves, but who knows? Long and short of it is, the only one who can get them out of there, or at least get by them, would be Sabina herself. Unless we could somehow convince her to go down there, I have no idea how we're going to get her out. I don't know if you guys have any plans. She looks at all of you. I don't know what to do here. But if she's still down there, I can't imagine what they've done.
She shouldn't be down there still.
I agree.
No. If we had a way to get down there.
I mean, we can get down there. It's just, well, here's the problem. You get down there, you got to get through the guards.
Yeah.
Now, as far as taking out the guards, I have a little problem you could do that, but that's just going to bring down the whole forge on you. I mean, if you go down there and fuck with them,
sure.
Umiral, absolutely. Have you killed all of you? So, unless there's some clandestine way to get Sabina to go down there and call them out, or if, I don't know, I mean, how good at your disguises?
Anybody have any good illusion magic?
I can turn into small animals.
Might be able to sneak past them as a rat.
My thoughts exactly.
I can also do something to alter my appearance.
Oh, well, you're full of surprises.
We'll hash out a plan.
Sounds good. I should get back to the forge before Umir suspects anything. I was going out on a small errand. Okay, and you take her out, and she gets to the edge of the door. She looks over at you. I don't know how much longer I can do this. I think he's getting close to figuring me out, and the best case scenario is he just sends me somewhere else, and then you have nothing.
Don't do anything for a couple days. Just keep your ear out. Don't run any errands. I'm going to meet with the Temple Master soon to try and talk her into the Shadow Consortium, and then don't risk yourself. We're getting close. If your ears peek up to anything, fine. But don't risk your neck.
All right, just, and she grabs your hand, and she looks up at you, and promise you'll be careful. I don't want to lose you.
We are all weapons and made by the great Master Smith.
And as you fumble through those words, she just grabs you by the head and lays one on you.
All right.
Just like, oh, for crying out loud. And then she pulls back and she's just flush, like, I'm gonna go now. And then she turns around and darts out of Shadyside.
Right. She wouldn't have noticed that he's rather flush, too.
Really?
Yeah. Naturally.
Yeah, exactly.
And as Razor stands there in the doorway of the Andy Gurr, with a flushed, confused, bemused, and hopefully somewhat happy expression on his face, we will draw the end of our episode there. And we'll see you all in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
We have an email address now. That's right. You can send us an electronic mail.
Fancy.
Yes. At entropypod. That's entropypod at gmail.com. If you have any questions about, you know, what's going on, if you have any gripes, if you want to pound me about rules I've messed up, I don't care. I'll take anything at this point. entropypod@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.